And some of you probably have never heard of ever in your life. I'll be preaching knowing that and using simplicity and a little bit more stuff for those that already know. But here this day, it is vital and important for you to have a relationship with the Lord if you want to be effective in working with people. If you want God's favor, so when you speak to that son or daughter, they may not listen to what you're saying, but they know it's true. When you speak to that wife, that husband, because you have the favor of the Lord upon your voice. And when you're speaking, they know it's the Lord. It's not what they are trying to make you do, but it is the plan and the will of the Father. So here this day, I want to title this morning's message, Hilltop Discipleship. Hilltop Discipleship. Give props to Miguel. He did that little thing real quick. I like it, man. It looks heavy. Hilltop Discipleship is what I want to speak about here this morning as we go to a well-known portions of Scripture, Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, I'm going to be reading all the way to verse 15. Amen? Hilltop Discipleship. Exodus 17. There was a battle taking place, amen, that should have ended up in defeat. There's a battle right now taking place in your life. I've been around for a while to know that each and every one of us this morning have a battle taking place within our life. And if this battle is not addressed in Jesus, this battle that is taking place in your life is supposed to defeat you. The battle you're facing right now has been placed there by the enemy, simply using a person to defeat you. Amen? But I want to let you know, no matter what the battle may be, somebody coming against you, or you have made some very bad moves, and you're being defeated right now of the enemy, whether it's an outside issue of somebody coming against you, battle, or inwardly issue of sin within your life here this morning, and why you're feeling defeated. However it is or it's coming, I want to let you know this day that if you allow Jesus, if you make it to the hilltop, that this battle that has been set in motion by the enemy can be canceled, that this battle can turn what should have been a defeat into a great victory, even if it was all your fault. That's called the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He's already speaking here this morning. Amen? As we go to the story here, if you don't have your Bible, every verse I read will be up on the screens. There's a battle taking place. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. I'm going to read off my Bible. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. Everybody say, to the top of the hill. How many know to get to the top of the hill, you got to climb? It don't say that they went to the bottom of the hill. I love going down the stairs. It's so much easier, right? Just, what's up, bro? Instead of, going up the stairs. Because you need to use more strength to go up than you need to go down. The Bible reads, everybody's getting in position, amen, because there's a fight taking place. 11, verse 11 says, it's a well-known story, but I don't care how good you know it, I want you to listen. God's going to give you something new this day. It says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Verse 12 says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side of him and one on the other side, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write on a scroll as something to be remembered. See, too many times we forget the battle that should have took us out. Write on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it. Because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalekite from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, for hands were lifted up at war against, for my hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. Hands lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all glory, all honor, and we all say in one accord, amen. David, I want you to go downstairs. Anybody that does not need to be helping down there for food needs to be hearing the word of the Lord upstairs. Amen. I want strategic people that need to be down there. That's it. I'm going to hear, what were you doing? I was helping with the Puerto Rican food. Nothing against the Puerto Ricans. All the Puerto Ricans are looking at me all crazy. There's going to be an altar call afterwards. For me. No, muchas veces tenemos comida ahí abajo y todos quieren ayudar. No quieren oír a la palabra del Señor. Quieren ayudar. All of a sudden, they say in the rehab, you want to be a servant. Amen. Verse 9 tells us here that Moses said to Joshua, Moses being the leader, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Joshua was a man of warfare, of battle. He was a bad dude, amen? And Moses knew that about him. So Moses allowed him to go pick some of the men, because if you're a bad dude in fighting, you know what another bad dude looks like. You don't always go about how bad they say they are. Amen? So Moses knew Joshua was a bad dude. Joshua, being a bad dude, knew what bad dudes to pick to go to fight with. Amen? So he follows instructions. He says, pick some men, go down there to fight. Amen? In verse 9. And that was his position. And the position of Moses was to stand on top of the hill. To stand on top of the hill. Amen? He says, tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So everybody was in position because there was a battle taking place. Too many times, a battle taking place in your life and you still remain out of position. You can't win a fight out of position. You can be in church here this morning, still be out of position. Amen? Because God spoke to you last Sunday and told you to do some things that you're still not doing. But you want the victory. You want what's taking place in your life to be done with. Come on, man, enough's enough. So God says, I agree with you. Enough's enough. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to quit doing. Verse 11 says, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. I put here, in the natural, usually when a football game is being played, the referee's running down with the receiver down the sideline. He's at the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10. And once he crosses the goal line, the referee goes, touchdown. Amen. Hands are up. Touchdown. And then even the guy that does the flip into the end zone and stuff, he jumps up and down. All the guys jump up and down because they just scored. Hands naturally go up on the score. Amen? There's some boxing fights that it's a close fight. It goes the full, all the rounds. And the referee's standing in the middle holding a hand of each boxer. And they tally up the points, and then they say who wins, and the referee raises that person's hand up, and automatically his other hand goes up, and he starts yelling. There's Victor. Then everybody that was betting on him is yelling. They want money. Everybody has a reason to hands up in the air. And then there's some races. There's some races where, even in the Olympics, where their winnings by such a great distance, they're winning so much that before they even get to the finish line, they're already doing this. Amen, because they know they got it in the bag. How many got your race that you're in right now, the fight you're in the bag? You just got it going on this morning. Or is there a good fight taking place that you know you can't run anyway, fight anyway, where sometimes your hands are up, sometimes they're down. Sometimes times are good, sometimes times are bad. But it's almost in every sport, in everything, even in the church, that hands go up signify victory. Except when the cops come around and say, bad boys, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. Hands up in the air. Don't move or I'll shoot. Hands are up, but you've been defeated. See, too many times we have our hands up, being deceived by the enemy, thinking we got the victory. And just within a matter of time, you'll know, especially to the presence of God that is here this morning, that even though you got a smile on your face and your hands were lifted up this morning, inside you feel defeated right now. Man, Pastor, who told you what I'm feeling? Not the Holy Ghost. And I've been there 1,000 times. 1,000 times I've been there. The guy that loses doesn't raise his hands. If anything, he's walking like this. The hands are pointing down. The other guy's hands are pointing up. One signifies victory. The other one, defeat. When his hands were up at the battlefield, they were winning. When his hands at the hilltop went down at the battlefield, they were losing. I put here, as Christians, we've been called to raise our hands up no matter what it looks like. In sports, the ball's got to, even if it's clearing the home run by far, it's got to go over until the ump calls it a home run, until the scoreboard puts on the point on there. In Christ, we need to have our hands up. Because the fight we're in, the battle we're in, the race we're in, has already been won at the cross of Calvary. Not just by anybody, but by Jesus. You got to get to a place within your life to raise your hands anyhow. Even though everybody in town may know that you're defeated, raise your hands anyhow. Praise them anyhow. Because this fight that we fight is a spiritual fight. On top of the hill where Moses and Aaron and Hur was a spiritual fight taking place. Nobody was throwing blows up there. Amen? One man was on one side of Moses, the other man was on the other side, and Moses was holding the staff of God. There was no punches taking place. But on the bottom of the hill, there was warfare taking place. Swords were being drawn. There was bloodshed taking place. There was two battles taking place, one at the battlefield and another spiritual one taking place on the hilltop. It's important here this morning to know that some battles last longer than others. Some of you might say, that's the one I'm in right now, Pastor, preach it. Okay, it's going to come with instructions of what to do. Verse 12 tells us, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Amen? So now Moses is, why did he get tired, man? And he sat on it, the Bible says. So he has the staff like this, and Aaron and Hur on each side of him. It says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady. And the part I want you to catch is, till sunset. This battle had been taking place all day long. In other words, Bible records that when his hands were up, victory, when they went down. In other words, his hands were doing this. And then he would get rest a little bit. And he would hold as long as he could. And it would get heavy. His hands would start shaking because he was seeing the victory. When they were up, he was looking down at the bottom of the hill. God, he just couldn't do it no more. I believe that Aaron and Hur were just posted up, man, like ushers, just bodyguards. They were just, in case some guy climbed up the hill or something, amen? They were on standby. They were just looking like ushers do, amen? At the church door, just standing there, amen? And I believe that when they were viewing what was taking place, this battle had been going on all day long. Some battles last much longer than others. The Bible says at the end, obviously, that they won that day. But Aaron and Hur were able to see the importance. They didn't catch it at the beginning because they would have normally gone up to the hill and sat him down and picked his hands up, right? But I believe Aaron and Hur were beside Moses. And his hands were up and they were just posted up with an aerial view from the top of the hill looking down at the battlefield. Amen? And they were just standing there. But Moses is looking up. He's the staff of God. He's in intercession for the battle that's taking place. He's in prayer, reaching out to God. And I believe Aaron and Hur were just like this. He called them over. All right, I'll stand there. You stand over there a little bit further, right there. And they were standing on each side of him. But all of a sudden, it was all good because he was fresh in the morning. Moses, his hands were up. And Moses and Aaron said, yeah, get him, Joshua. Ooh, did you see that one? Ooh, Hur, did you see that? Ooh, Joshua ain't no joke, man. Where's that other junior? Man, who said junior didn't have it? Joshua knew who to pick, man. Ooh, and they were just having victory. Moses' hands were up. They're fresh. Sometimes things are going so good that we feel we don't even have to come to church. Things are going so good. Jesus, thank you, man. I don't even need you no more. Ooh, did you hear that? So they're checking it out, and they're just seeing a victory, just victory, blow after blow after blow, everything. Hour went by, another hour went by. Has anybody's hands just in the act of, man, I'm so crippled, man, but spiritually I'm 100% healed or well, made well, amen? But man, every hueso me duele, man. The shoulder operation, another operation, three disc out. So when I'm praising the Lord and your pastor's doing that, I'm doing it. You think I'm crying, pero me duele. It hurts. It hurts. I said, but I need to be an example. I need to be a model with hands up, hands up. Have you ever gotten so tired with your hands up where you got to lay them down for rest and you wait a little bit and then you're fresh and you put them back up again? Hallelujah, hallelujah. They start getting tired again. You put them back down. Just to keep your hands up for a five-minute song gets hard. Moses was holding a heavy staff of God from the morning, the Bible says, till sunset. And he was shaking, holding, because he knew as long as those hands were up, they were winning. He wasn't looking at the fight. He was looking unto God. Aaron and her, I know, were looking at the fight. And then something took place. Hours and hours had gone by. And the hands of Moses started going down. And Aaron and her were checking it out. And all of a sudden, the odds started changing in the fight as they were looking down. And they looked at Moses and they couldn't figure it out. Such great victory the first few hours, and all of a sudden they're getting whooped on bad. Everything's being reversed. And they were just like, what are we going to do? And they're just like, man, if they mop up down there, they're going to come up this hill and get us too. And then all of a sudden, Aaron and her were like thinking what to do, and then to the side of their eye, they see Moses' hands go back up. He got that little rest he needed, and his hands went back up. The Bible goes on to say, as the hands were lifted, there was victory. Hands went down. They were being defeated. His hands went up. There was victory. Hands down, defeated. And all of a sudden, Aaron, okay, all right, we're doing good. Joshua started coming back, and the fight started going on again. All of a sudden, they were once again winning. A little time went by, and then all of a sudden, the hands of Moses were shaking, and they went down again, and Moses and her, Aaron and her just checking out the fight. Say, man, we're losing again. There's importance in how we use our hands. In almost all sin, you need to use your hands. Almost. Might start in your mind and all that, but eventually you're going to use your hands. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Look at your hands. Are they clean or dirty? And I'm not talking about, did you use soap this morning? Amen. Are your hands clean or dirty? Spiritually speaking, what your hands been touching lately? They were being defeated again. Aaron and her started like, ooh, man, they're about to come up this hill. We're next. And then all of a sudden, the hands of Moses went back up. And through the improvision in the sight of their sight, they started saying, wait a minute. There's something to this. Aaron and her start getting the revelation. Their life's on the line. Even though they're safe on top of the hill. See, some of you might feel real safe right now, but there's a battle taking place. And so they're like, does it really matter if his hands are up or down, whether we're winning or losing down at the battlefield? So now they were kind of keeping an eye. They were just almost kind of like waiting for his hands to go down, see if the battle would turn again. And his hands went down. Sure enough, the battle started. They said, wait a minute. If his hands are up, we're winning. But if his hands go down, we're losing. So they got a revelation. We're going to sit him down on a stone, and we're going to hold his hands up, and we're going to win this. That's exactly what they did. They sat him down, the Bible says, on a stone, and one stood on one side, one stood, and they held his hand up. The Bible says, till sunset. And that day they had a great victory, that it really did matter whether Moses' hands were lifted or not lifted. That it really does matter if you praise and worship the Lord in your life or you don't praise and worship the Lord in your life. It really does matter. Raised hands also represent surrendered hands to the Lord. It really does matter where your hands been and what your hands been up to. Because when your hands are busy for the enemy, they're not lifted up. They're at work. They're that beer or whatever it is. What's that? Packing the smoke. You know, you got to pack the other thing. I love to see guys pack a smokes, man. They stay on it and they pack it and pack it and pack it. Before you know, to get a puff out of them. And they pack the cigarros in the bag. What have your hands been doing lately? And some of you still, what is that? Yeah, you better ask somebody. These guys, some of you guys still rolling marijuana? What does this represent? Amen? You could be loading a bowl of crack or marijuana. What you been doing lately? What does that represent? Ay, ay, ay. What does that represent? That almost looks like Ghost. What's the name of the movie where she was doing the clay? Patrick Swayze movie. What's the name of it? Ghost. They're in the clay and they're ay, ay, ay. What have your hands been doing? Because whenever you're active, your hands are not up. You're concentrating, using your hands. It does matter if you have washed hands lifted unto the Lord. It's changed my life for 20 years now. I have not opened a beer, not even to be polite for somebody and open it for them. I don't get around where beer's at. Homie, don't play that no more. I don't have to be somewhere where beer's being drank to show how much I love somebody. I don't have to go and get somebody some smokes to tell them how much I love them. I ain't got to say a couple of cuss words to hang out and be a part of what's going on. And when it comes to rolling joints, man, I could roll some good ones. Shooting dope, I could do it in the dark. I had veins that would stick out this high until they all collapsed from shooting dope. What have your hands been doing lately? You can have a job, a beautiful place, and a beautiful car, and your hands can still be up to no good. Moses' hands were lifting up the staff of God in intercession for the people. You can hear sin. It has a voice. You hear it? It's when it gets quiet. Man, it's real quiet. The good news is here, you can lift your hands up at the altar today and surrender. Amen. And God can forgive you. Every place your hands have been, everybody your hands have touched, He can wash you as clean as snow, the Bible says, as white as wool. What determines victory or defeat is not what's taking place at the battlefield, but what takes place on the top of the hill. Too many times when the battle, whatever it may be that you're up against right now, is taking place, we get all focused and locked in to the battle. And when that happens, we do not have hands lifted to the Lord. It's almost like we jump into the fight because we're so used to jumping in. What determines victory was what was not taking place at the battlefield where Joshua and the Israelites were fighting the Amalekites. That is not what determines victory. In too many times, if I get the last word in, if I throw blows, if I keep cussing her out, she's finally going to get tired of hearing, and I'm going to win. That's not what gives victory. It might give you the victory for the moment, but it's going to come back at you. That day, what was determining victory or defeat what was taking place on the mountaintop. It wasn't how good or how bad Joshua was fighting. What was bringing victory was whether the hands of Moses were up or down. That was the true indicator where victory or defeat was coming from. It wasn't what was taking place on top of the hill, what was determining what was taking place in the battlefield. And too many times we get stuck in the battle we're in, and we focus on the battle 24/7 instead of focusing on getting on top of the hill, getting with Jesus, raising our hands and say, Jesus, I can't fight this battle no more. I've been fighting it for 20, 30 years. So I come to you, so I make that climb to the top of the hill. Too many times we get caught up in the battle, what the devil is doing, the struggle, instead of staying focused in prayer, which allows us to see what God is doing. What allows you to see what God's doing? Hands up. Making it to church. Having a praying life. Says that your hands are up. Determines whether you're going to have victory. I've been lifting my hands unto the Lord for 20 years now. I have been victorious, even though I've gone through a lot of battles. It was what I did at the hilltop that has kept me victorious for 20 years now. Not touching a woman besides my wife. Some of you can get to a place where you don't even want to touch your wife no more. Tell your neighbor, ooh. You don't want to touch your husband no more. What used to be a ooh is now a ooh. Capiche? I believe Aaron, her, around the hill with Moses, being able to see the battlefield that was taking place below. As members of the church, you need to see the importance of your pastor's hands raised them to the Lord. There's some pastors that grow and have a lot of years, and they're like this in the front row. They don't even raise their hands no more. They're so in there. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with day one. I just raise my hands. I choose to make sure. I don't want to go back. 20 years later, I choose to make sure. Hands raised. I'm the so-called Moses of the church. But you need to know your importance here this day. Even though I pray and I'm victorious in this area within my life, this battle, if Moses would have gone to the hilltop by himself, as great as the relationship that he had with God, God would speak to him. He would speak to God. He saw God. As great as he was, and as great as the relationship was that he had with God, that day would have been his last day. If it wasn't for Aaron and her that were able to see the importance of their leader Moses' hands up or down, wouldn't have got the revelation, that day they would have been defeated. But Aaron and her sat their pastor down, and they kept their hands up till sunset. And that day there was a victory that the pastor would have not been able to win by himself. I know I have people praying for me, covering my life. If that was not a truth, I've seen a lot of battles that I wouldn't have been able to be victorious by myself coming to Jesus. It was not only important for Moses' hands to be up to save his life, but it was also important to Aaron and her's life in the raising. There was something in it for them also in the raising of their leader's hands. It's important that you pray for my life. so that I may be able to pray for your life on the hilltop instead of from the valley all the time. I need hilltop experiences all the time. While the battles are taking place within your all's lives, I know the Lord listens to me. 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Bible reads, I'm important in your life. Stop talking about me. Amen? If you're going to talk about me, talk good about me. Oh, my pastor. That's what we want. 4:15 says, for even if you had 10,000 others to teach you about Christ, you have only one spiritual father. For I became your father in Christ Jesus when I preached the good news to you. In other words, God can use many people to pour into your life to help you along the way and your Christianity walk. But the Bible says here that for even if you have 10,000 to teach you about, you have only one spiritual father. I put here, I'm not bragging about myself today. I know it's the truth. I put here, but there is a special anointing and authority that only your spiritual father possesses to care for your life. Did you know that your breakthrough, I put Jesus first. That's a given. Your breakthrough is found through my life. Found through my life and my wife's life. No, Pastor, I know how to get to Jesus by myself. Yeah, I didn't say you couldn't. I want you to learn how to get to Jesus by yourself without me having to take you there all the time. Without, Pastor, can you pray for me? Pastor, can you pray for me? Pastor, can you pray for yourself? Pastor, I was just wondering if you could pray for me. You know, I'm going, can you pray for me? Man, get a hold of Jesus. And when you get a hold of Jesus, pray for me. If you think the devil's all after you, how much do you think he's after me? You got to get past the area, Pastor, pray for me. In Exodus, in closing, Exodus 17, we got to get to the hilltop, church. You got to get to prayer. You got to start developing your prayer life with the Lord and be consistent. If you want to eventually one day come beside me and keep my hands up to make my life, my walk a little bit easier, it's to your benefit that my hands are up. Not just my benefit, but it's to your benefit that my hands are continually up to the Lord. Moses, I believe, never looked down once to the battlefield because he knew it was fought and looking up to his God. Too many times we get locked into the battle, which takes our focus from our God. A lot of people could have got the credit this day. The Bible in Exodus 17, 15 says that Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." Here within this story, we could give the credit to Joshua. Because in Exodus, it says, in Exodus, I think, 7:13. It was 17 instead of 7, Adam. You got it right. Give me 17:13. It was wrong on my notes. 17:13. So we could have gave the credit that day to Joshua. Too many people trying to take the credit. They want the limelight all the time. 13 says, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. It looks like Joshua made it happen that day. It says word per word that Joshua overcame the Amalekite army. We could have gave the credit to Joshua. Exodus 17, 12, Exodus 17:12. That was my bad. I gave the wrong. We could give the credit to Aaron and Hur. The Bible says when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat on, and Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. We could give credit to Aaron and Hur. If the hands of Moses wouldn't have been lifted, they would have been defeated that day. We could even give the credit for this battle to Moses. Exodus 17:11. The Bible reads, as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. So here it says word for word that Moses brought this victory. But Moses knew better. Moses knew, though everyone did their part, it was ultimately God who brought the victory that day. Amen. The one that couldn't be seen, that wasn't there, was the one that brought the victory. And too many times we go by what we see, thinking that's what's going to bring the victory. Moses knew better. Amen. He knew the victory came from God. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. If we take it a little step further, there was someone else that later on in the New Testament that would raise his hands. And his name is Jesus Christ. But he would raise them with two stakes in them. He would shed his blood. To the eye, it looked like he had been defeated. But his hands were lifted up to the Father in obedience. Obedience! And he was nailed to the cross. Not just for the covering of our sins, but for the removal of our sins. Amen. The Bible says he became nothing to make something out of your life. To make something out of my life, a full-blown heroin addict eating out of trash cans. Jesus lifted up his hands. Even though it called for him to surrender his life. And Jesus is looking for some men, some women that can surrender their lives unto him, for their eyes can be fixed on Jesus, so that we can have the victory in whatever we're going through in our marriage, with our children, in the church, in the ministry we should be running. We got to get to a place where our hands are lifted up unto Jesus. Keep doing it your way if you want to. And you're going to continue to run to dead end after dead end after dead end after dead end. I don't care how educated you may be. You can be totally defeated here listening to my voice here this morning. I don't care what you have and what you own. Jesus had heaven and he surrendered it all to have you and I here this morning. To be Christ-like, to also to lift our hands, even when we're going through it. Jesus, even the more, your hands should go a little higher. That shoulder's killing me right now, but I'm lifting it up right now. It's a little crooked in this one, but praise the Lord. There was a time when I really hurt it, when I was looking for a fix of heroin, going months without showering. A beard like a werewolf, hair down on my rear end. Strung out on heroin. But little did I know that there was a people in the church praising the Lord. I had a sister that was praying for me. And from the messed up life of a heroin addict where mom and dad no longer trusted me, My brothers and sisters hated me. They just didn't trust. They hated my guts that I would rip mom and dad off over and over for their jewelry, wedding bands, cars, any microwaves, vacuums, anything that was there. I didn't steal it just one time. Amen. I stole the vacuums and the microwaves over and over and over. Something that had to be replaced in a household of 7 kids. One day we had TV, the next day we wouldn't. One day we had a microwave, the next day we didn't. And everybody would look at me and say, I didn't do nothing. All tweaked out. That time I was slamming cocaine. Why everybody always look at me, man? I didn't do nothing. I've been here all day. To the place where they hated my guts. But today all of them call me when they're stuck. All college graduates call me when they get stuck. Because my hands are lifted to the Lord. They've seen their brother change, bearing fruit, the truth of the gospel of Jesus in power. How about just another drug addict coming out of prison, entering the church like you guys? But man, I continue to raise my hands even to when I was in the storms. I says, man, what's before me, I know is better than what's behind me. But what was before me, I didn't know how to get it. It was an act of faith. I had to believe in and pages on a Bible. I had to follow my pastor, even when he told me to do some crazy stuff in Jesus. I was obedient. And today I thank the Lord, even though my hands are killing me, raising them up right now. I got knots in this arm for my shoulder replacement. I raise it as high as I can to the Lord. Because I know as I raise my hands, you're going to have victory in your life. Amen. You should be concerned if my hands are raised up or not. Amen. You should be in intercession for my life. Because as long as my hands are up, you're going to have victory. Amen. But I need some Aaron and hers in the church. I need some people where the lights come on and they get the revelation. Would you rather be with a pastor that's always getting beat up all the time or one that's on top of things? I do my best to run all over the place like a crazy to make what you have right now happen. And I use men and I use women to run this way and do this and do that, do this all day long. Most pastors don't do that. They sit in their office and they're on vacations and they're on leaves and all this stuff all year long. But I know we don't have an ordinary church. Our church is far from being a normal church. We have people here this day, man, that you know you've been saved by God's grace and mercy. You know you don't deserve to be here this morning. Jesus has done something in your life. Hilltop discipleship, there's the picture. You got to help somebody up, man. You can't call doing your part just coming to church. You got to do your part. You got to get somebody to the hilltop. You got to get somebody to the hilltop. In order to get somebody to the hilltop, you first of all got to be at the hilltop. Amen. Rolling up the hill, coming back down the hill, up the hill, running down the hill. They did not come off that hilltop that day. Aaron and her started looking and said, man, I'm out of here, man. They're about to come and get us. They held their ground. They got a revelation. As long as their leaders' heads were up, there was victory on the battlefield. Not sometimes. Every time victory, every time defeated. Every time victory, every time defeated. As the worship team makes their way.